Our scripture is from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 8 through 10. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God.
With the metal roof that we have on this building, you can hear when it's raining. And that's good. I like that. It brings back memories to me of days when I was very young and I would go with my cousins into the hayloft in my grandfather's barn. My grandfather was gone by then, but the remnants of the barn were still there. And to be up there in the hayloft while it was raining was just such a wonderful sensation. And it still brings back a smile to my face when I think about it. But more than that, to hear the rain falling on the roof, it reminds me of a song that we used to sing a lot. It's not even in our book now, I don't think, but showers of blessing. There shall be showers of blessing. And we are soaked by the blessings of God, are we not? I mean, are we just not abounding in the goodness of God? And I realize some have more than others, but even those with the least amount of material possessions, we've been blessed so richly, so richly. And it's only right that we should take time to come together and give thanks to God, to praise Him, and to say, Lord, how we need You. Every day of our lives, we need You. And that's why we're here today, is to reaffirm to ourselves, as well as to God, our dedication to Him and to His Son, Jesus Christ. And we're really glad you're here with us today. We've got several who are visiting with us today, and we're really glad you come our way. I hope you'll come back and join us anytime you can. And if we can help in any way, please do so. Let us know what we can do, and we'll be glad to help if we can. And others are here that we have been praying for, like Gorma right there, walking down the hallway after taking her grandchild back to the nursery. Gorma just got back from a month-long trip to Africa, and she had asked that we pray for her. And we did, and now she is safely back home. So glad to see that. Janet Looney in the back. Janet is here after having gone through surgery again. We've been praying fervently for her. And today she tells us that she may not even need that next surgery they were talking about, that things are going so well. And she says, I know it is the power of God. And things like that are just so great to hear. And we're just so glad to see you. I know there's many in here that we could go around the room and say, boy, we've been praying for you, and we've been praying for you, and God is good, is He not? God is so good. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. Hope you'll come back and join us for that. Greg is supposed to bring us the lesson this evening, assuming he gets back from the camping trip. We expect he will. He's planning to. So I really hope you'll come and join us this evening at 6 o'clock. And as Steve said, there's a lot of things coming up in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Please get involved. This is your church. Of course, it's the Lord's church, but this is our family. And we work together for maximum effect. So pitch in, do what you can. Let's work together and in all of it, bring glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now get your Bible out. Let's turn together in the Word of God. Let's find things there that are so important, so helpful for us. And I know we're going to really get a lot of good benefits from it if it is the Word of God. Let me mention, first of all, though, that if you can believe what a lot of people are saying on the internet and perhaps in other reports, there's a lot of people planning a trip sometime in the near future. And I'm not talking about a vacation. I'm talking about a move. This has become a very bitter presidential campaign. I don't have to tell you that, do I? And a lot of people have said, well, if this person is elected and it works both ways, Many people have said, well, if this person gets elected, I'm moving. I'm going to make my home in Ecuador, New Zealand. You take your pick. There's a lot of places that have been mentioned. Well, I'm not here today to talk about politics, and there's a good place where you could say praise the Lord. But I am here to talk about how I made a decision a long time ago to make a move. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm making every preparation, and that is the destination that my Lord talks about in His Word, heaven. And we've been talking this year about the idea of all things new. And in the book of Revelation, Jesus said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And that's been our theme this year. Every first Sunday of the month, we look at something else that Jesus wants to be new in our lives. And today we're going to talk about that ultimate destination. Doesn't really matter where we live on this earth, but it does matter where we're planning to live in eternity. So let's look at this idea together. Open your Bible with me, turn to the passages that you'll see listed on the screen, and let's study and find out what do we need to know about this new ultimate destination, and why is it important that we talk about it? Let's see what the Lord has said. First of all, let's talk about the idea of this world is not my home. This world is not my home. Now that, again, is the opening line of a song that we sometimes sing here at Central, and we love that song, and that's the idea that we ought to have always in our hearts. This world is not my home. We just concluded a series of lessons on Sunday morning on the Israelites coming out of Egypt and making their way to the homeland. And just think about it one more time as we move into this particular lesson. Because think about where those Israelites had been. They had lived for over 400 years in the land of Egypt. It started out well. It went bad somewhere along the way, and they found themselves unwelcomed. They were merely slaves in the sight of Egypt and Pharaoh. And so they said, yeah, these are valuable people because they do our work for us. But if you're an Israelite, you don't want to live in that condition. You don't like to feel the whip on your back. You don't like to be told how much work you have to do today and when you can go to bed and when you can get up in the morning. You want to be in control of your own life. And that's what God was offering them. God was saying, I'm leading you out to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And the thought of that should have motivated them all during the journey. Yeah, they encountered hard times as they traveled toward the promised land. There were times when it didn't look like there was going to be any food, no water, and they grumbled about it. But they should have had in the back of their mind, we are headed toward a place where all of this is going to be worthwhile. That's the idea that we're talking about as we talk about this world is not my home. Now, make no mistake about it, this world is a good place to live in many respects. For many of us, life is comfortable. Our health is relatively good. And we kind of like it here. And if you ask me, are you ready to leave today? Well, I kind of like being here. But this world is not my home. That's the idea that we have to get in our minds. Now, why would we say that? Why would we say, this is not really what I want long term? Let me take you back to Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10, and there we find a familiar scenario that is given to us in the Word of God. It is when Abraham is still following God, going wherever God tells him to go, and traveling with him is his nephew Lot. Apparently, they were both very good at sheep herding, and their flocks had grown, and now the land was not able to bear both of their flocks. And so Abraham said, Lot, you decide, where do you want to go? You take that way, I'll go that way. If you want to go that way, I'll go this way. So Abraham left it up to Lot. And here's what we find in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10. Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar. And it looked like the right choice to make. And there's no reason to think that Lot did something wrong in making that choice. But you hear that distant thunder. When it goes on to say at the end of that verse, this was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, things were going to change, and they were going to change very badly for Lot. In the end, he would be forced to flee for his life, and only his wife and his two daughters would be with him, and his wife wouldn't make the escape herself. It was very bad. This life is not what it seems to be sometimes, and sometimes it's because of the evil of other people. That's what happened with Lot. Lot is called a godly man in the Word of God, but look at how evil changed everything. This world is not my home. Another example could be found in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 10 through 12, and as you know, the writer is almost definitely Solomon. And what do we know about Solomon? He was very rich. God blessed him. God said, ask whatever you want. And Solomon wisely said, give me wisdom. And so as a result of that, God not only gave him wisdom, he also gave him wealth and all kinds of other good things. So here is a man that knows what it is to live with comforts all around. But listen to what he's saying in Ecclesiastes 5, verses 10 through 12. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And that seems to be saying, look at your new friends. And you know, we hear this all the time. Somebody gets a very good contract from a sports team. Somebody wins the lottery, and they come into a lot of money. And boy, where did all these relatives come from? I never knew them before. Where did all these friends come from? That seems to be what he's saying there. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. And so what Solomon is saying there is, you think it would be great if you had unlimited resources? Well, folks, I've got them, and let me tell you, they're not what they're cracked up to be. They do not satisfy. Another reason for saying, this world is not my home. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5, and we may say, well, I don't know what it's like to be Solomon, but we can identify with this one, I bet. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5, where again, the wise man says, do not toil to acquire wealth. And the idea there seems to be, don't make that your number one ambition in life. Don't let that be your driving force. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it's gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. Now that's not literally true, I don't think. I've never seen that happen, but it sure seems like it. How many times have we said, where did the money go? I mean, I thought I had enough, I thought I had more than enough, and now it's gone. Where did it go? This world is not my home. Material goods cannot satisfy. And Jesus, did he not teach this idea in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, you know this. Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. That's the way things go sometimes, isn't it? As hard as we work to prepare for whatever may come in life, bad things happen. Scam artists come along and they take out whatever we have put into our account. We are the subjects of defrauding. You know, our identity is stolen. All kinds of bad things can happen. We know that. Let me give you a real life example. I came across this in an article in Business Insider, December 1st, 2011. So it's been about 5 years ago since this was written. But it says, former Enron Corp employee. Now, you remember Enron. Enron was a major energy corporation. and they were just booming, and lots of people thought, well, this is the future. You know, this is where I'll be able to make my money, all kinds of good things. And then it turns out that there was all kinds of embezzlement, and just it collapsed. It was a bankruptcy. So former Enron Corp employee George Maddox, who was 78 years old at the time of this article, who lost his retirement savings when the energy giant collapsed, says he has been forced to spend his golden years making ends meet by mowing pastures and living in a rundown East Texas farmhouse. Maddox, who served 30 years as a plant manager with the company, was long retired as Enron began spiraling out of control in the months leading up to its bankruptcy. With all his retirement savings tied up in 14,000 shares of company stock, then worth more than $1.3 million, Maddox says he never saw the crash coming. He was a millionaire. Doesn't mean what it used to mean, but he thought he was well set for the rest of his life. And then something beyond his control happened, and it sprouted wings and flew like an eagle toward the heavens. You see, that's the nature of life. And those people that say, this is where I am, this is all that I need, may come to something like that. This world is not my home. But even if nothing bad like that happens to us, even if thieves don't break in and steal, and corporations that hold our security go bankrupt, even if that doesn't happen, think about what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12. Luke 12 verses 20 and 21, he had just talked about the man that had a farm. Everything had gone great. He was rich. He said, I'm going to build new silos and barns, and I'm going to store it all up and just sit back and enjoy life. And that's when Jesus said this in Luke 12, verses 20 and 21. God said to this man, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and all the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see, again, life is unpredictable. Money and security is fleeting. If it is grounded in material things, we don't want to make that our hope. It's just not safe. And so how vital it is that we regularly remind ourselves, this world is not my home. I mean, I want to do well while I'm here. I want to be comfortable. I want to provide for my loved ones. But ultimately, there's something else, and that's our next point. And that is that we've got to keep our sights set on our ultimate destination. We've got to always be thinking, this is not enough. This is not what I want. There's something better. The promised land that God has promised to those who are Christians, that's where I'm headed. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, there we're looking at people of faith, and in verses 8 through 10, we're looking at Abraham. And if you want to talk about anybody that was a person of faith, Abraham is a good candidate for that. He was such a faithful man. But in Hebrews chapter 11, listen to what he says again in verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out. And that means he was called by God to leave home. And it wasn't like today where you can, you know, get on the internet and say, well, what's it going to be like over there? You know, I know the shopping areas, I know the hospitals. Didn't know anything. Didn't know anything about where he was going. Didn't even know where he was going, according to this. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Do you think Abraham lived in a tent when he lived in Ur of the Chaldees or in Haran? I don't think so. He was a man of wealth. I have this idea very well-supported idea, I think. He lived in a very nice lodging place that was solid, that was made of stone or wood or something. Now he's living in tents. Why? Because God called him out. Because God said, I have a place for you, a promised inheritance. Leave home. And he did. But as this chapter points out, he wasn't the only one. There have been many other people of faith. And that's why we go now to verses 13 through 16, because Abraham and we have something in common. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. These all died in faith. In other words, they did not let go. They didn't turn their backs on God. They continued in faith until they died. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Is that how we view ourselves? I am an exile. I'm a stranger to this world. That's how we are to view ourselves. They did. And then he goes on in verse 14, people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And that last verse I want you to latch on to, because that's what we're going to focus on for the next few minutes, the next final minutes of this lesson, is the idea that our homeland is prepared by God. In the Greek, it is a word that means just that. It is prepared. Somebody thinks ahead. They say, well, here's what I want to have. Here's what I want to provide. And so they work on it. And it's a vision. It's not just accidental. It didn't just happen. It is prepared. And let me take you through a quick tour of some of those passages that talk about our ultimate destination and how it is prepared for us. Go to John 14. You know what we're going to find in John 14, I suspect. It's one of our favorite passages in all of the Bible. John chapter 14, look at verses 1 through 3, and look for that word, prepare. Jesus in John 14, beginning in verse 1, says this, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I don't know how many of you have been over to Biltmore House, Biltmore Estate. It's an hour and a half from here, I suppose. If you've been there, you know one thing. That is grand. Do you think that just happened? Do you think somebody woke up one morning and said, you know, let's build a big house? And they just started building. I don't think so. Instead, it took somebody, a lot of somebodies in fact, working, planning, drawing out the blueprints, bringing in the materials, and look at what a marvelous place it is now. That was a human creation. If Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, what do you think it's going to be like? Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. I'm going to go and I'll come back and take you there. That's us he's talking about. Another place, Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 34, Jesus is giving us the picture of the great judgment day. And first, the Lord deals with those who are righteous. They have attended to his will. They've listened to what Jesus said. They're following what he wants them to follow. And it says this in Matthew 25, verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Again, pointing out, this is not haphazard. This is not spur of the moment. God's been thinking about this for a long time, just like some of you ladies, when you prepare for a holiday when you know family members are going to be coming in. You go to all kinds of lengths to get everything just right because you love these people. And Jesus, again, is saying, that's what I'm doing. This kingdom is prepared for you, has been since the foundation of the world. And when you go down to verse 46, you see this goes on eternally. Those who are righteous will go into eternal life. Matthew 22, verse 4, earlier Jesus had given the parable of a king that threw a banquet for his son. His son was getting married. He wanted to honor the son, gave a feast. And listen to what he says as he sends out servants to urge people to come. Those who have been invited, the time is now. Again, he sent other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. And when you think about a king's wedding feast, wow, I've been to some fancy dinners, but nothing like that. And nothing is spared. I mean, it's opulent. It is lush. Everything is there. And the king says, I prepared it. Come. And the reason Jesus said that is because we are the invitees. Don't you see that? You and I are the invitees to the real banquet that God is going to give in honor of his son when his bride comes up to heaven and they are joined officially in marriage. That's what's waiting for us on a much grander scale than we can ever imagine. And finally, let me note 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And I'll give a full disclaimer here. I don't think this passage is talking about heaven immediately in its most direct sense, but I think the principle certainly can be applied. What he's talking about there is the plan of salvation. Who could have guessed this, Paul is saying? And listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Now again, he's talking directly there about the plan of salvation. Who could have known that God would take his own son and send him to earth and live among us and then die a horrible death on the cross? But I think you can apply the same principle to heaven. Can we begin to imagine what God has in store for us? No. And we do have our ideas. Every one of us have our ideas. What's it going to be like when we get to heaven? And some may say, well, this is what I'm going to be doing. Others say, well, that's the way it's going to look. We're guessing for the most part. The Bible doesn't say a whole lot about details regarding heaven. But one thing is enough, and that is to know that heaven is prepared for me and for you by God. In 1971, John Lennon, known to most, I guess, as one of the Beatles, he released a song that became his best-selling song of all as an individual artist called Imagine. And in the words of that song comes this line, imagine there is no heaven. Why? Why would I want to do that? When God has told me there is a heaven, that there is this ultimate destination. No, John, I like your songs for the most part. I'm not going to do that, though. I'm going to dream about heaven because that's what God tells me to do. And I may think, well, there's going to be mansions there, and the streets are going to be paved with gold, and there's a gate that doesn't ever swing outward, and all those details. But the main thing is God has prepared it for me. And I know it's going to be great. I don't want to miss that. Some of you have just finished your vacations. And those vacations, the thought of that vacation sustained you, didn't it? during many long and weary hours on the job, when you really didn't want to be in the office or be there in the factory or wherever it is you work, just stopping and thinking, well, you know, there's coming a date and you knew what the date was. I'm going to be out there on that beach, or I'm going to be up there in the woods. Wherever it was, that sustained you. And now what are you going to do for the next 11 months? Well, that's something we'll have to work on. But the idea, the thought, the dream of it sustaining us, that's exactly what we should be doing with heaven. And for scriptural support of that, go to Hebrews chapter 6. We'll close with this. Hebrews chapter 6, look at verses 17 through 19. Hebrews 6, 17 through 19, where the writer says, "So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain." What does that mean? It means that heaven can sustain us. Life brings times that are very stressful. Life brings doubts into our minds at times. But if I can step back and say, you know, one day I'm going to be out of this place and I'm going to be in heaven, that will sustain me. It will sustain you. And that's why God wants us to think about heaven. No, he's not given us answers to all of our questions. In fact, not many answers to our questions about heaven. But it's enough to know that the one who made us, the one who loves us, he's prepared a place for us. I want to go there, don't you? Are you ready? If your life were to end today, are you ready? Have you obeyed the gospel and allowed the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse your sins? Have you heard the gospel to the point that you now can say, I do believe that. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I'm ready to turn away from my sins, repenting of it. I'm ready to confess to anybody my faith in him. And I'm ready to lay down my old life in the grave with Christ. How do you do that? In baptism. We are buried with Christ in baptism. And by the power of God, we come up out of the water clean, united with Christ, heirs of the promise. You could be ready if you obey the gospel right now. And if you've done that, have you been faithful? Or do you need to come home and say, Father, I have sinned. I've allowed things to come between me and you, and I don't want that to be the case anymore. Please, Lord, forgive me. And we'll pray with you as you repent of that sin. But whatever your need, come right now as we stand and sing.